Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
I love it here. Like, you know, I've got a lot of family here, so like every time we come back over, I get a lot of texts and stuff like that, you know, people buzzing for it. So yeah, I couldn't wait. I've always said, well, me and the lads have always wanted to come over here. You know, like we hit America hard, and we hit like not Australia, not as hard as we want to, because you know we don't have, you know, the type of money to go over there all the time. You know, we're just starting out in these places. But Dublin, I want to consider Ireland. Sorry, I want to consider like the UK. You know, I think we should treat it like as much as we tour there. I'd love to come over here and play arena shows and stadium shows. And
so not really had the chance to come over here that much. So this is only like our third, fourth trip over. And to be
which doing. Is crazy, because we're like a Stena line away.
I know,
we're
man.
Just like, come on, Holyhead, come on, guys.
Exactly. Well, but we came over more so in the early days, you know, before we had a label and stuff, before we had management, because I think it's a lot of people, you know, in the industry, the music industry, which we don't consider ourselves a part of. We feel like we come into rat a little bit. They always say, oh, there's no money, you know, going over to Ireland, there's no money doing that, because there's not so many places to play in it. You know, all this stuff, and we're like, who's asked about that? You know, there's, if you're in stadiums, I imagine there's going to be a lot of hoodies sold. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you know,
yeah,
don't
yeah.
worry about that. I just want to do it for the people, and the people going crazy. And I know yous lot can sing good, and I know yous lot like your rock and roll bands. And you know, it'd be I'd love to. I love it over here. I've got, you know, a lot. Like I said, my granddads are both Irish, so and all my family are Irish. So to come over here and represent for them, you know, I'd love that.
And you said something very interesting there, which is you don't even consider yourself part of the music industry. What do you mean by that? What is the ideology behind that?
Everyone's kind of in
it. Every decision is kind of a business decision, rather than like this. Coming over to Ireland for us is more of a personal thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, we think like that, rather than, oh, it's not got, you can't make a lot of money there kind of thing. It's just,
yeah,
rather go somewhere we love than somewhere that can make us a lot of money and not have a good time there.
So where don't you want to go? Because you don't want to go there.
Well, there's nowhere we don't want to go. It's just
you won't hear it. This is Irish radio.
Yeah, don't want to go. I don't want to go back to the splitter van. You know, and that's not that. No disrespect to bands in splitter vans, but you know, we drove that van for 8 years ourselves. So that, I just don't want to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go everywhere. It's the opposite. We want to go everywhere, but there are For me, I'd really love to do Australia. Like, personally, I have a personal preference. I'd love to do Australia. UK is obviously where we're from, so we'd love to, you know, be big over there. But UK, America recently, because they're really giving us a chance out there. The press, they really believe in us, giving us a lot of hope. And I think the fans are excited because we're, you know, like a British rock group, and we've all got mop tops and that, you know what I mean? I think they like that. So America, obviously, UK, obviously. But the personal ones for me are Ireland and Australia. I'd love to really worked out hard, like, yeah.
What I really like about you guys is that you're not shy about your ambition at all. Like, you are quite upfront about what you want to do, how big you want to be, and not about the money in any sense. It's about just traveling as far as you can with the music, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, totally. Because when it becomes, my dad always used to say to me, you know, money follows success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the money would be great, because then you know, like, you know, McGregor, you get a custom fit suit that three men died making. You look smart for your mum and dad when you go around for Sunday dinner. But yeah, no, it's just about, we've been in this band. We started the band when we were kids, when we were 14, for the sake of just liking playing Stereophonics and, you know, covers and little covers in pubs, beer gardens, and then we throw in.
It wasn't even a thought back when we started the band, so it's not really changed.
For about 4 years of the band, our set fee was £50, which was fuel back and forth to home. And a crate of beer everywhere.
So what happened? What was the catalyst? What was the changing point that kind of brought you guys to the forefront and made everybody in the last, let's say, 3 years kind of take notice?
I don't think it was one particular thing, because we'd been doing it for so many years anyway. It just kind of a gradual build. It wasn't like any one moment or anything. It's just, I think the amount of like fans we'd earned from touring everywhere and everything, I think people just started to notice that, really.
Yeah, that's it. We're definitely a strange band to the industry. We're a band that's, see, bands nowadays, they stay in the practice room until they've wrote a song good enough to get played on radio.
Yeah.
But our fans force radio onto players. You know, they were getting hassled with us, like saying lots of blockers on Twitter because our bands were tweeting them so much.
That's why I left, was it? I just can't deal with these fans anymore. I'm going to Apple.
Yeah, now if they give us an iTunes advert with the next album, we'll get him there as well. But they were just, we've got a very strange approach, you know, like we before we had a management deal or a record label, we were selling out venues, and this was kind of unheard of, really. You know, for a long time, I think the Arctic Monkeys were very much similar, but they had management and labels. We were literally driving ourselves there and unloading the van ourselves and putting on the show and then leaving and doing all the signing, selling all the merch ourselves. We had a business going before we had a deal, so, and it wasn't, it was just for the sake of keeping going. We never gave ourselves money. We just always had enough money on the card to get us to from A to B. You know, we never really bothered with it. It's just all good crack, innit?
And you mentioned the Arctic Monkeys there, of course, then working on the balcony, working on the album, you got to work with, of course, what's his name?
It's Jim Abyss.
Yeah, of course, who produced the original Arctic Monkeys stuff. So how amazing was that? Oh. That must have been, he is a legend. Like Adele, everything.
He's done a lot. It was quality for us, but he was very stubborn with us. Obviously, I'm just a big music fan, me, so all my songs come off just going, oh, I'd like a song like Dakota by the Stereophonics, I'll try and write one. And, you know, like, they all come off being inspired by other things like The Streets or whatever. So I'd be like, Jim, how'd you get that? Can you know, that bass you got for that Arctic Monkey song? He'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, do you know how to do it? And he went, yeah, with that amp, that pedal and that. And I go, can we do it on this song? He'd be like, no. But, you know, because I just...
Wait, are you saying, did you just try to plagiarise stuff?
No, it's not that. It's just like, it's not...
He was being so stubborn, he wouldn't let us copy other people.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly... I just like, we grew up playing in pubs, like I said, for the fun of it. When we used to write songs, we still do it. You know, when we play songs now, like, I still sing Stereophonics in our set, The Killers, another song. We just use Springsteen, we just throw covers in because... Mm. You know, every song has been done before, you know, like, anyway. So we used to do it for the more pub style. We're used to playing in pubs. So we're equipped for, you know, making audiences laugh and go, oh, look at these young lads, they can play phonics and this in one song. Legends, you know what I mean? So it was more like that, really. And yeah, he was very, very much like that. But he's a dude. He made us break through, I think, that sound. Because we did just sound like everyone else before that record, I think. Not in a mimic way, but just because we're just kids with guitars.
We just needed that touch.
Yeah, he just put sonic on it and dynamic, and we never even heard those words. I only learned about mid late a month before we went in. Because I don't know what, like, our manager was like, all our songs, so Kathleen was the first song we did with him. And if you notice, that just goes verse, bridge, chorus, end. That's it. Mm. And everyone goes, why don't you ever write mid lates? And I was like, I don't know what they are. I just thought it was the bit Ronan Keating put in to ruin the song, you know what I mean? Like, that, what's that song, Ronan Keating song I love? Loving these days, if it's the last. Yeah. The mid late of that, that's just in it to go, oh. And then the chorus comes in and goes, oh, this chorus is class. It just makes choruses even better. You put it in just to make choruses sound better.
So did you try plagiarise Ronan Keating at all during the process?
Not intentionally. If you find anything, then it was a complete accident.
Yeah. My mum fancies him like mad, Ronan.
In terms of the name, people always ask, I'm sure, and I know the story, but it is an incredible one as well. So please do tell our listeners exactly where it comes from.
Well, my mum and dad ran off to Australia together, and for the first 2 years of my life, I spent around there just like traveling around with them. And they were, again, like, about the no money thing, you know, they weren't like really working. It was just, we have so many family out there who have couches, you know what I mean? So it's just staying on couches, just seeing the world. There was no agenda for it. There was no strategy. It was just like, let's go around, see what we can see, and, you know, eat when we can eat. And it wasn't like, you know, hand to mouth. It was just like, it was just bohemian, you know what I mean? It was just really cool. And my first memory of seeing live music, and I think it's because I've got footage of it, because there's no way I could remember it when I was that young, really. But I feel like I can, because I've seen the videos back all my life. But my first memory of seeing live music was seeing a busker called Catfish the Bottleman play in Paddy's Market. And he had like a washing line with wine bottles hanging off it. He played it like a drum kit. So that was it, Catfish the Bottleman, and we met him when we went to Australia.
I was going
to
say, did you seek him out? Did you?
Yeah, well...
And what did he say?
We did
give me money.
That's what we were saying. We did a radio station. I was in one room going, if I ever meet him, I'll just be like, please don't sue us. And whilst I was in this room getting interviewed, he was in the room next to us setting up. So when we came out, they were filming, and it was a kind of like blind date, this is your life kind of thing. And we're like, all right, mate. And everyone
was
like, oh.
And he was grand.
Yeah, he was sad. Like, he was when we met him. But he's just, I think he was a bit surprised by it, because he's a busker, you know what I mean? Yeah. And for us, I think they were like,
probably a bit confused, to be honest, about the whole thing.
I think they felt a big, like, this is your life moment coming on, and we kind of just walked in and we're like, all right, mate, it's been a while, you know. Like, and he was just like, why am I on a radio station?
What's going on? I've made my break. Well, thank you so much for having the chat. Congratulations on the album.